welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. Today is September 11th, 2022, and you can find that on the archives, actually, always, at wethepeopleradio.us. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, our sponsor of this hour, Aaron, is Pape Machinery.
We never get sick of that.
No.
Everybody else probably does. They're like, oh, God, they're doing it again.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Sorry.
Yeah, Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. And anything John Deere you need, you go up and see them or give them a call. They got tractors, mowers, implements. They also do full service parts for other brands. So go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And you can also catch them on the web at PapeMachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
And there you have it. Do you guys sing?
We will.
Do you dance?
Again, if it's in the quote, yeah, we'll show for you.
Yeah. I just want to make
I don't have any of Melania's dresses to wear, but it's probably going to have an impact. Yeah.
You guys are going to have to make some friends at the FBI.
Yeah, maybe.
That's where all the good stuff happens.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, Bruce, we're back. And and so now we don't have to mess up your story.
Okay. Well, I was going to somewhat humorous story.
We love humorous.
But it involved insurance fraud and involved gastric bypass surgery.
So you must be a hell of a comedian because that's a tough setup right there.
That is.
Well, you know, look, it's a weight reduction procedure, right, that's covered by insurance companies for individuals. And this is the key, really, who have failed to lose weight through conventional means like dieting. Now, in order to get the insurance companies to cover this, I don't know if it's still true today, but it was true when this case was ongoing, is that you had to show that you accomplished, or at least attempted to accomplish, traditional ways of losing weight, diet, exercise. You went to physicians. All of this had to be documented so that the insurance company would now say, okay, as a last resort, you could have this gastric bypass surgery. So this woman is working in one of our hospital departments, and, you know, she's overweight, and she goes in for the bypass surgery, and she comes back, and she looks terrific. She looks fantastic. So two other women in the department who happen to be overweight as well, they go, wow, you look really great. How do we get this bypass surgery? And well, you know, it's a long process. You have to go to doctors, you need certifications, you need tests, you need all of this. And these two ladies said, I don't want to wait that long. It sounds like I'm going to have to wait almost a year for that. I want to look like you look now. So she says, well, look, I got an idea. Why don't you take all this paperwork that I have, all these tests and doctor visits and everything, and take my name off and put your name on and submit it to the insurance company. And next thing you know, you'll get reimbursed and the insurance company will cover the procedure. They go, really? Yeah, really. So that is exactly what happens, all right? So one lady sends it to her insurance company. Another lady sends it to her insurance company. Next thing you know, this one office that had three overweight ladies now has three slim, beautiful-looking ladies, and they're as happy as could be. So the supervisor one day is going through the desk, not intentionally looking for any climate, just going through the desk looking for something, and she sees some paperwork to the insurance companies that looks very familiar to her. At some point, it had to be passed through the supervisor. She says, wait a minute. These doctor's visits, these programs, I've seen this before. And even the dates kind of look familiar to me. So she calls me up. She says, Bruce, I don't know what's going on here. This might sound crazy, but we had three overweight ladies, and now we have three ladies that look terrific, and they all had insurance-covered bypass surgery, but I'm looking at the documentation, and something doesn't look right here. So I come down, take a look. sure enough, you could see, when I pulled all the documentation, you could see it was the same, except the names would change. And when I interviewed this lady, and the sad part is when I interviewed one of the ladies that submitted the fraudulent paperwork, she says, you don't know how this operation changed my life. I mean, it really saved my life. It changed my life. I said, look, I understand that, but why couldn't you do it the legitimate way? Oh, no, I couldn't wait. I was looking at my coworker. She looked so great. I felt so jealous. And the second lady, she tells me the same story. And finally, I interviewed the woman who went through it correctly but enabled the other two to commit the fraud. She said, well, I felt so sorry for them. They kept hounding me and badgering me that I should help them, so I did it. Well, obviously, all three employees got fired. The one that actually submitted, the two that submitted the paperwork, they weren't charged, but the one whose paperwork was legit and gave them the paperwork to submit, she was actually arrested and charged with a crime, you know, with insurance fraud. I mean, she didn't go to jail or anything, but it was a very, very unique situation that we had in an office there. Well, now, as an example of insurance fraud, you know, another thing we had was because of all the expensive equipment we have in hospitals, periodically, this equipment would get stolen. And, you know, people don't know this, but organized crime, what they do is they will have people walk around hospitals, sometimes dressed as employees, even dressed in scrubs, and they look around and they see what equipment is not secured. Now, some equipment is secured very well. Some equipment is not secured at all, and some is somewhere in the middle. And they would walk around and they would make notes to see what they could steal from the hospital and resell, because there are medical resellers out there, and I'll tell you how that works. Okay, so what happens, one of the hospitals in our system had 10 brand-new portable EKG machines, all right? But there was construction going on at the hospital, because hospitals, you know, they always have construction going on. So they said, well, look, we have these 10 brand-new EKG machines. What should we do with them? So I said, I had an idea. Look, we have a building across the street. It's not being used too much. Let's put them down there, and when the construction is done, we'll move it back. So they moved these 10 portable EKG machines into the basement of this building. And then when the construction is finally done in the new main hospital, somebody walks across the street and says, okay, it's time for us to install these new 10 EKG machines. And they go down and they say, where the heck are they?
Uh-oh.
They're missing. 10 EKG machines are missing. Well, where did they go? We know we brought them down here. Where did they go? So they call me up and they say, Bruce, you know, a little embarrassing here, but we had 10 brand-new EKG machines, and we have no idea where they are. That's all right. Give me the serial numbers of these EKG machines. So they give me the serial numbers. I call up the manufacturer. I said, look, these are new machines. If anybody calls you because they have some warranty questions on these machines or any questions at all, and they give you these serial numbers, you call me right away. Well, sure enough, it didn't take long. And I got a call from the manufacturer, and they said, hey, Bruce, you know what? Somebody called about one of your machines. It's a medical reseller in Connecticut. Now, what is a medical reseller? A medical reseller will buy used or sometimes even new equipment that the hospital is accessing, and they resell it, and that's perfectly legal. But some of them, you know, engage in activities that's not really that legal because they don't really ask where it came from. You know, you got something, okay, we'll buy it and we'll resell it. So contact this medical reseller in Connecticut, and I say, you know, you have a machine that was actually stolen from us. How did you get it? Oh, say, oh, no, Bruce, this is what happened. We actually saw it for sale on eBay. So we bought it on eBay, okay? Okay, terrific. Contact eBay Security. eBay Security says, Yeah, you know, somebody, they had these 10 machines. They took pictures of these machines, and they put them out for sale, and they put them out for sale on eBay, and some people bought it. Well, who put that ad on? I want to know who put that ad on. Well, it's some guy in Long Island, and here's his address. So go visit the guy on the Long Island. I said, oh, I got this guy, right? He said, hey, Bruce, it's not me. It's not me. You see, I have a service. What I do is people bring product to me. I photograph it, and I put it on eBay for them. Okay, well, who came to you?
He's like a fence, an eBay fence.
To photograph and to put on eBay. And it turned out to be one of the hospital employees who had access to this equipment. And that was interesting because there was construction going on. One weekend, they had to shut off the electricity. So there were no cameras and there were no alarms. And who knew this? And he pulled up on a weekend with his van, loaded those EKG machines into his van, and took off. And we never recovered all of them. The reason why we didn't recover all of them is because some of them were bought as far away as Thailand. All right. So we recovered some of them, and he got criminally prosecuted, but we never actually recovered all of them. And there is a huge market out there for medical equipment, a huge market. So hospitals have to be very, very, very careful. But the latest and greatest times, as we move in and get even more and more serious, are all these internet-based crimes that actually involve hospitals, okay? And there are many, many of them, and some of them are very, very scary. Some of them even have to do with something as simple as employment. Now, this is what happened. I would get phone calls from people all over the country and saying, you know, Mr. Sackman, we went online, we saw that your hospital had advertised the job, we applied for the job, and we were told that we got the job, and we were told that please supply their financial information so that because they'd be working from home, and that the hospital would pay them through direct deposit. So they wanted all my account information, you know, where I bank, social security number, all that kind of stuff. And a number of these victims went along with it thinking they actually had a job at the hospital, when in fact it was totally bogus. And what's really sad is I had interviewed a number of victims who were actually the spouse of active duty military. And I don't know really why they got targeted. But their husband or their wife was away, and they were living on a military base, and they were looking to work from home. And they became victims of this scam, and some of them lost thousands and thousands of dollars. It's really very, very sad, you know, to see that. But now we have a situation where all the medical records are online. Everything is electronic, right? Which means that in the old days, you steal medical records, you go to the file cabinet, and you take out the medical records, and you run. But now
you can get the whole room.
Every medical record in the hospital can be hacked. And this is something that keeps hospitals up at night. And there have been a number of hospitals throughout the world, not just the United States, throughout the world, that have been subject to what we call ransomware. And this is the way it works. Guy's working at his computer, and all of a sudden on the screen says, you can't access the patient records anymore unless you pay this ransom. And you know what's very interesting, I find very interesting, is that the bad guys seem to know the amount of insurance coverage each hospital has for ransomware. So if the XYZ hospital has, let's say, $1 million coverage for ransomware, they'll ask for $900,000. If they have a $10 million coverage, they'll ask for $900,000. You know,
wow.
They know exactly how much to ask for, which down very, very soon.
Yeah, that can't, that
well,
can't
they,
be...
Well, they're able to get into the hospital systems, usually through some bogus email.
Sure.
You know, it says click here, and you're not supposed to click there. And the next thing you know, they're in the hospital system. And now the hospitals, all of a sudden, cannot access their medical records. Now, you know, it's one thing if an accountant can't access your records. It's another thing maybe if your lawyer can't. But if your doctor can't access your medical records, that could actually result in death. And there's a story in Germany. This happened not long ago. A patient's in an ambulance. He's on his way to the ABC hospital in Germany. All right? All of a sudden, the ambulance gets a phone call. Don't bring the patient here because we can't access our records.
Oh, wow.
All right? So the ambulance says, oh, my God, what do we do? Well, we have to take him to another hospital. It's like 30 minutes away. And the patient dies in the ambulance.
Oh.
So in this case, the hackers actually committed a murder because by not allowing the doctors to access the medical records and that patient to be brought to that hospital, that patient was actually murdered as a result of hackers. And, you know, we have all these other traditional hospital crimes like account takeovers, for instance.
Hold that thought, Bruce.
Okay.
We will come right back. And I found a little song for Pape Machinery, just for all those people that are thinking they might not need a tractor. I found a little song. This could be you.
Oh, they're going to love it.
This could be you. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Nothing left for my kids and my wife. Oh, I clung to that first cup of coffee, praying, God, won't you show me what's real? Out in the distance, I saw through the window a man on a tractor with a dog in a field. Dog walked just like he was smiling. The man drove like the world was all right. The tractor hummed on like part of a song that you sing to your children at night. His work was laid out there before him. In rows of green, his whole life was revealed. Oh, what I wouldn't give if I could just live like a man on a tractor with a dog in a field.
Well, she ain't into cars or pickup trucks, but if it runs like a deer, man, her eyes light up. She thinks my tractor's sexy. It really turns her on. She's always staring at me while I'm chugging along. She likes the way it's pulling while we're tilling up her land. She's even kind of crazy about my farmer's tan. She's the only one who really understands what gets me. She thinks my tractor's sexy. She thinks my tractor's sexy. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
I'm gonna have to
hire me?
Get a hold of Pape and tell him we have to pay a little extra this month. Holy mackerel.
I couldn't stop myself. How do you work "I think my tractor's sexy" into a story about hospitals and fraud and death and 9/11?
Maybe that's how they got to the hospital.
That's a stretch right there.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, Bruce. Had to take a little departure there. Welcome to the West. Everything else is on fire. We might as well talk about something fun, you know. Good Lord. So I said, hey, we need to take a quick break, then we'll come right back with, but then I started laughing about tractor songs, and I can't remember what we were talking about.
We were talking about the fraud case.
Oh, thank God, Bill.
The fraud case you were going to tell us about.
Well, we were talking about ransomware.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Most people don't know this, that many hospitals actually have established Bitcoin accounts with their attorneys, because in the event that they should be hacked, they want to recover their information as quickly as they can, and they will pay the ransom. All right. Now, the FBI will tell you, don't ever pay the ransom. Don't ever pay the ransom. Well, it's easy for them to say because they don't have all these patients flying there, and we can't access their medical records. Now, hospitals will spend millions and millions of dollars on cyber defense, okay? But if you're a small little hospital in somewhere, you know, like the Sisters of Divine Intervention or something like that, and you could just barely keep the lights on, you're not going to have millions of dollars to spend in cyber defense. And that is really, really particularly scary. So this is something that worries hospitals all the time. And a number of hospitals, and I invite people to Google it and just see a number of hospitals around the world that have paid a lot of money to get their medical information back. And then when you get it back, the question is it the same? Has it been altered? Did they make copies of the information? I mean, it's pretty scary stuff. Really scary stuff that never existed before we went all electronic, you know, with all electronic records. And now, to scare you even more, is what I would call sort of the future of healthcare murders. And that's internet-based murders, because so many of the hospital devices are internet-based. And if it's internet-based, it can be hacked. And the manufacturers are not spending a lot of money on defense. They're just spending a lot of money on putting their product out and make it easy for doctors and others to manipulate these devices remotely, not really thinking enough about hacking. And let me give you an example of some devices. We have, like, drug infusion pumps delivering morphine drips, chemotherapy and antibiotics that could be remotely manipulated to change the dosage doled out to parents, to patients, I'm sorry. Bluetooth-enabled defibrillators that could be manipulated to deliver random shocks to a patient's heart or prevent a medically needed shock from occurring. X-rays that can be accessed by outsiders working on a hospital's network. Even temperature settings on refrigerators storing blood, right? And drugs that can be reset, causing spoilage, and digital medical records that could be altered to cause physicians to misdiagnose, prescribe the wrong drugs, or administer unwarranted care. How does that sit with you?
Yeah.
And to add even more, because we're on a roll now, we have something known as the Internet of Bodies. Now, we've heard of the Internet of Things, you know, like everything is internet connected. But now we have something that's known as the Internet of Bodies, where all these devices that are either implanted or wearable are internet-based. And if it's internet-based, someone could hack in and change the setting. You know, Vice President Cheney had an internet-based pacemaker, and the Secret Service said, no good. No good, Mr. Vice President, because somebody could hack in and change that setting on your pacemaker and take you out. And this is a real concern, because more and more devices, whether they be implanted or wearable or actually in the hospital, are actually internet-based. Somebody printed an article a while back. It's entitled, Can Hackers Commit the Perfect Murder by Sabotaging an Artificial Pancreas? I didn't even know there was such a thing. But let me just read this to you. It says, deliberately wrong high glucose data sent to an unprotected mobile computing platform may cause the algorithm to deliver excessive insulin, whereas incorrect low glucose values could cause it to deliver too little. The researchers write, make the machine administer too little insulin and the blood glucose level may rise enough to send the patient into a ketoacidosis coma. make it administered too much, and the glucose falls into the brain, fails, causing the patient to faint or even die. This might seem to bad guys like the way to commit the perfect murder. And this, I fear, is the future of hospital murders, that somebody might be able to actually take out a patient just from sitting in their living room on their computer. Now, has this happened already? Don't know. Depends who you talk to, honestly. When I talk to my friends in the government, they say, Bruce, it never happened.
How do they know?
And then when I talk to an attorney I know who does a lot of these cases, he says, hey, Bruce, it has happened, but nobody wants to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to admit it. So has it happened? I don't know. I don't know. But one thing I do know, it can happen. Now, we were going, right before COVID, we were going to have a conference at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice in Manhattan on medical serial murders. And we had invited people from all over the world to come to this conference to speak about this problem of murders in our hospitals. Well, one of the people that we had scheduled to speak was an IT guy who was going to give us a demonstration where he was going to set up a medical device on the stage and show you how he could remotely change the settings. So I know it can be done. Whether it has been done and actually killed somebody, I don't know. I really don't know. But that's really, to me, the future of healthcare murders and a real, real big problem for the hospitals going forward.
Sure, sure. You know, and more medical devices are internet accessible. I know hearing aids are internet accessible.
Yes, they are.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can online and adjust your hearing aids. I just got a brand new CPAP machine. That CPAP machine can be accessed online and change the settings. Supposedly, by only a medical professional can do that. But they do it right online. They access your unit by serial number. They go in, they adjust the settings, and you're up and going. It sounds like a great deal, but I don't know now. I don't know. In the middle of your night, all of a sudden you can't breathe. Could be a problem.
Yes. And assuming that somebody does that, are they even going to be able to trace it back?
Well, that's the
who the perpetrator was. I'm not that confident.
Mm-mm.
I'm not that confident, and I speak to IT people all the time about this, and I'm not confident that they can. Now, I know there are conferences and a lot of discussions about security of these devices ongoing right now. Okay, so I feel good about that, that the problem is at least being discussed. How well it's being addressed, I don't know. You know, many times you don't put up that traffic light until some kid gets killed crossing the street, right? Then they put up the traffic light. Well, are they going to put up this security after somebody actually gets murdered through the incident like this?
Yeah.
I hope we don't wait that long.
Sure.
I honestly hope we don't.
Well, you look at the smart meters that they really foisted on Europe early on, and they can prevent you from running your washing machine, the smart appliances.
Oh, yeah,
I just heard
the other day that they were able
those
to...
from working, and they can change your thermostat.
Yeah, exactly.
So
right.
Gavin Newsom, in his fleece sweater, can tell you can only have it at 78 while he's chattering his teeth in his frozen palace. And, Meanwhile,
the serfs are sweating
serfs
it out.
Are sweating like to the oldies.
Yeah.
Because, what was it, 122 here the other day?
Yeah.
Now we have 37% humidity, just to be clear. So you're doing a different kind of sweating, Bruce. We know that. I lived back there, and how well I remember. But when you see your thermometer say things like 122, it's like, wait a minute.
Wait, what? It went that high.
I always take a picture of it because it's just so weird. But, all that stuff.
is... That's pretty scary stuff, isn't it?
It is. It's super scary because...
Well, they can, and I mean, look at what they've done with the Internet. I mean, everything, not just medical devices, everything. You buy a camera for your house. You buy a Ring doorbell camera. Well, guess what? Anybody has access to that.
I won't let Bill have any of those things.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No Alexa. No. Nobody who... I don't want the appliance. The only thing I want to hear in our house is, like, our schnauzers. Like, that's it.
Do you remember the story the other day? Maybe it was last year, in the newspaper about how they were able to stop a car from running?
Oh.
They were able to actually stop a car. And, you know, now with some of these self-driving cars, God knows what they'll be able to do.
Yeah.
Will they be able to make it turn right when it should turn left and go over?
Your mother-in-law pays a little extra money and you have to go to her house. You will be here for Thanksgiving or else. It is pretty freaky, though. I had somebody call me, I guess it was last week, and she was completely discombobulated. And she said, you're not going to believe it, but we had... she goes, I was on my computer and the thing came up. It looked just like Microsoft. And it said I had to call this number. And she goes, I called. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not good. And then they said, well, you know, your bank has been hacked. They charged, you know, a huge amount of money, blah, blah, blah. But it really looked super legit. And she had just picked the computer up the day before.
Yeah.
And then she starts getting phone calls from these people in New York, oddly enough, and they were calling her repeatedly, and she said, wait, I have to go, I'm getting a phone call, and they said, don't take the call, those are the hackers, they're trying to get to you. So she didn't take the call. Well, then the police show up at her door and said, you know, ma'am, could you come outside and leave your phone in there? And he said, you're on the phone with the hackers, and some people that track hackers are on the phone. They called us to get us to come over here to do a welfare check because they're trying to drain your bank account. You have to hang up with them. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's getting pretty sophisticated.
I don't think the police have time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty sophisticated. Usually the police don't get involved until all the money's gone.
Yeah, there's been a crime.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought I'm going to check with those people because the $64,000 question was how did they know that the hackers were targeting her?
Yeah.
Right? How do they know?
Right. Yeah, who's watching who?
And then they look up the town she lives in. They called the police department. They sent the police out there to check on her. But they were not a law enforcement agency. They were an international... like a consortium of a nonprofit that
tracks hackers. Oh, no kidding.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I'm not a complete electronic dunce, but I don't know how they did that. So I thought that was all pretty pretty darn weird, but you know that they're coming after us with all of this. We have to take one last quick break, but when we return, I would be curious to know where you think some of that's going based on the investigators that you're talking to, Bruce, with some of the personal medical devices and that kind of thing, and maybe what people can, like, watch out for just to kind of keep themselves out of the fight. But here in California, we don't have to worry about it because, you know, they're shutting our power off all the time, and we're not going to have cars and, you know, all of that. So it turns out that Journey wrote a song when I was in high school that... was kind of a prophecy type of a song. So we'll play that and we'll come right back.
All right.
You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I am the eye in the sky looking at you. I can read your mind. I am the maker of rules, dealing with fools. I can cheat you blind. And I don't need to see anymore to know that I can read your mind. I can read your mind.
Yeah, they do want to, they thought they wanted to be there. They thought the lights were just going to go, I don't know, lower or something. I think they weren't anticipating they'd be going out.
Yeah. But in California,
yeah,
don't worry about Thanksgiving because, you know, a lot of people don't know when to thaw their turkey. Hey, we got
PG&E's
you covered.
PG&E's going to do it for you.
Yep, they got it covered. They'll thaw your turkey for you.
That joke works every year, which is really frightening, actually.
Yeah.
So we realized during the break, Bruce, that we forgot to talk to you about the whole COVID thing. And all the crazy junk that was going on during that.
How many people got behind the curtain during COVID?
behind the curtain is a whole different meaning now.
That's a great question. So let's talk about COVID in the last 8 minutes that we have here. Number of hospitals were really inundated with patients during COVID. I could tell you my own experience, what I saw in the city of New York. If you recall, not only did the Navy have a hospital ship come here, but we had set up tents in Central Park to handle the patients, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a pandemic, you require a lot of staff. And one of the problems is some of the existing staff was getting sick as well. So you had to bring in people from all over, literally all over the world, that are willing to help. And when new people come in, especially during a pandemic, the hospitals will reach out to services to recruit people. And what kind of background investigation is done on these people? Well, many times it's not really that good because, you know, when the enemy's coming over the wall and you got to put troops up there to stop them, you don't have time to do a full background investigation on every soldier who's going to defend you. You're just happy you have a soldier there to stop the enemy from coming over the wall. So all of a sudden now, hospitals have a whole new group of people working there. Many of them are not familiar with that particular hospital system. They came from another hospital that maybe has another system for procuring drugs. So they're not really up to snuff on the current hospital. But look, it's a pandemic. They need people right away. So you know what they do? They recruit people, and they recruit these traveling nurses and, you know, and doctors, and the overwhelming majority of them are really outstanding, but this has sometimes been an opportunity for the less than outstanding to get reemployed in the hospital because of emergencies. And one of the last particular cases that I had worked on in the private sector involved somebody like this. It involved a traveling nurse. This had been previously employed in Missouri, and her record said that she had resigned for personal reasons. But when you call down there, you find out that she was actually under investigation for diverting narcotics, but the new hospital in New York had no idea.
Yeah.
Because the agency never actually mentioned that, and I think that's come over a number of times. So she has this brief 8-hour she's assigned to the emergency room, and she's very personable, and she invites some of her coworkers for breakfast. You know, they make a lot of money, these traveling nurses, and they get their room taken care of, and they deserve it. Believe me, they deserve it. And, you know, at first, and she's working in the emergency room. Now, at first, things seem fine, but then some staff had commented this nurse seemed to be spending an inordinate amount of time in the medication room. Now, the staff assumed that this was because she was new and still learning the intricacies of a system she was unfamiliar with. And then one day, a staff member reaches her a vial of narcotics, and the cap had appeared tampered with. So she goes to her supervisor, and an inventory was conducted, and the second tampered vial was uncovered. And that's those are the kind of phone calls that I get, you know. And this is the way it works. You see, for narcotics to be withdrawn from the safe, first a medication order from the physician must the issues, okay? Now, in case of an emergency, and this is where it gets a little dicey, an override can occur, and narcotics can be removed, but a physician's handwriting can eventually be documented.
Uh-oh, we're losing little bits of you, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Wait, you're cutting out? We missed all that part right there.
All right, let me start again. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
For narcotics to be withdrawn from a safe, okay, a medication order from a physician must be issued. Now, in cases of an emergency, an override can occur, and narcotics can be removed, but a physician's order must eventually be documented.
Uh-huh.
If an override was not necessary, the transaction could be canceled. If the drugs had been removed, it would need to be wasted and witnessed. And it's rare for a nurse to access a medication via override and then cancel the transaction. But this nurse, this traveling nurse, because of the pandemic, was involved in a high percentage of override canceled transactions relative to her peers. So she had entered overrides for, now, if I remember this, hydromorphone, morphine, fentanyl, diazepam, and diazolam, as well as propofol and something else. I can't even remember. It was a total of 11 vial syringes from the emergency department was identified as being potentially manipulated due to vial tops missing or visible puncture holes. And when tested, at the pharmacy, these vial syringes contain less than their labeled amount of volume. Actually, she had taken the drugs to use herself and replaced it with sodium chloride. Now, sometimes the patients were in pain and they needed these drugs, but what they got instead was sodium chloride. They didn't actually get the narcotics, okay? And eventually she confessed. And then she left the hospital, and because of the pandemic and the lack of law enforcement, she wasn't actually brought to justice for almost a year after this happened. So where she worked after New York City and what else she did, I have no idea. Now, keep in mind that during the pandemic, family was not allowed in the hospital, okay? So now you have a situation where you have traveling employees unfamiliar with the system, a very, very tiny minority may be intent on doing some bad things, and there's no family there to watch. The place is extraordinarily busy, and a lot of leeway is given to people who are brand new. So how many people actually died or suffered as a result of this, I really don't know. In Germany, there's a doctor that's being charged right now for murdering two COVID patients. In Canada, there's actually a person that was just arrested a couple of weeks ago for murdering some COVID patients. So I think we're yet to find out the true extent of what happened during this COVID emergency.
Yeah, having experienced that myself, when you go into one of those hospitals, the hospital I was in had a floor that was dedicated to COVID patients. You're in a room, maybe it was just me, but you're in a room by yourself. There's a limited amount of staff that is assigned to that floor. And you're on your own. There's no visitors. It was a hellish experience, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I could see where if you had staff that wasn't familiar with the hospital and, wanted to pull some shenanigans, it'd be so easy for them to float in and out of rooms and pull it off pretty successfully.
Yep. And I think we'll probably never know the extent of people that were harmed as a result of being in the hospital for COVID. But I think as time goes on, we will learn more and more about it. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the overwhelming majority of healthcare people were just so overworked, so overtaxed, and did truly the best they could do. But that gave an opportunity for that tiny, 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 tiny percentage of bad folks to get away with what they wanted to get away with.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know in our town, they actually got to a point where if you didn't get the vaccination, they were letting medical staff go and bringing in out-of-town staff. They, at one point, I think they brought in the National Guard, and people were working, you know, in National Guard capacity. You don't know who these people are. You don't know what their training is. And like you say, in a critical situation, you're just happy to have the help.
That's
and,
right.
It definitely, I think, left the doors wide open for somebody to come in and abuse the system.
Yep, it did. And I think now, going forward, we're going to start to uncover more and more of this. But the full extent, God only knows. Really.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right, too. The money is pretty unbelievable. I mean, not only did the hospital make a lot of money on COVID from the government, but I know somebody who knew a nurse that came from another town and went to work and worked overtime. And they made like a couple hundred thousand dollars in a very short period of time, you know, just doing the overtime and putting in the hours. You know, God bless them. But there was a lot of money changed hands on that deal. And I'm
well,
not
of course.
Sure. All
well,
the
people who got, yeah,
the
people who got certain medications.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There is a lot of weird incentivizing, and you know, it always goes. It can go either way. It's good that if people didn't have coverage or whatever, that they all got treated. But then, did everybody just have COVID because it was so lucrative? And did we stall it out as long as we did? You can make a case.
If you tested positive for COVID, no matter what all your other problems were. Hey, you could have went in there for bad dandruff. If you got tested positive for COVID, you were a COVID patient.
Yep.
You know, you're going to get reimbursed under COVID.
Right.
And everybody who was in the hospital that tested positive, they were a COVID patient. And even if they expired many times for other reasons, you know, it was due to COVID. So the numbers are really not that accurate as well. We see how many people died as a result of COVID. You know, many of them had other underlying illnesses, which was really the cause of death.
Yeah.
But
right.
It was financially more profitable to have the cause of death to COVID. So it was COVID.
Yeah. Well, I'd be really interested if you are still in contact with people who would be investigating those sorts of things. You know, as you learn more about that, if they want to say something or you want to... You ever want to come on and tell us about that? I know people would be very intrigued by that because, let's face it, everybody dealt with it at some level or another, and has their suspicions.
Oh, sure. And one of the good things that came out of COVID was we cured the regular flu. nobody got the regular flu after COVID showed up.
That's true. Problem solved.
Know, and you know that the seasonal flu. Yeah, I mean, people, you know, particularly elderly people, get the seasonal flu and die from it. But
not anymore.
Not anymore. No, we all die from COVID. it's messed up.
Aren't we a jaded bunch of jackals? There's a tremendous amount to look at in this, and you know, thank goodness you guys started looking. You know that you wound up looking at these medical serial killer people, because you know who knows how long they were operating before you know you showed up and finally did something about it. I hope everybody goes and reads the book. It's called Behind the Murder Curtain. Our guest has been Bruce Sackman, and we love having you on, Bruce, and we'll totally do this again. And we hope you're having a super day in New York and not sweating too much. We're going to go outside and do that ourselves right now. But
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. And in honor of all the folks we lost in 9/11 and my mom a couple years ago, got a good song for you. Talk to you next week.
I need a sign.